Mark 2:20.
Hey,
no, Mark 2:1.
Is that Mark 2:1?
No. And that show goes along the line of way with this, and I hope to round that teaching up today.
Or way with this. So we said, the people who are looking at Mark 2:1, we said, the writer of the synoptic, they were writing about the incarnation of Jesus Christ. They were writing about the incarnation of Jesus Christ, and they were not writing it as a men's story.
Hallelujah.
They were writing it as a men's story. Glory to God, they're writing about the incarnation.
I'm still going to say some things along that line. Then we'll look at it furthermore in understanding the gospel. Something very vital.
Amen.
So, Matthew 1:1.
It says, the book of the generations of Jesus Christ. So, we said they write in such a way that you don't get detached from the New Testament book.
Hallelujah.
So, Matthew 1:1 says the book of the Genesis.
That's the word generation there.
Genesis of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham.
Amen. So, something recently that we will get to see is the use of why would Matthew mention son of Abraham, son of David, or son of David, son of Abraham. We see that in commonly. But I'm pleased with it again.
Hallelujah.
So they wrote in such a way that they don't get detached. Our aim, the son of Abraham, the son of David, is to make you see Jesus in the incarnation is prophecy fulfilled, scripture fulfilled. So they write that down for you to see.
Amen.
Glory to God.
Amen.
So they write it for you to see. Then you don't get detached. Generation Jesus. So you have to go back again and repeat it again. It's all over the Genesis of Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
So, in chapter 28, verse 20, it says to them, teaching them to observe Jesus. Now, Matthew writes that for you to see. Jesus said, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. He says, and lo, I am. Now, I told you that what I am there is the word ego am I. When you find the word I am that I am in Exodus, you for God in the redemption.
I am that I am.
Is that?
God in his redemptive work, showing his faithfulness throughout the end.
God in his redemption.
So he goes to Egypt and says, tell the children of Israel, I am that I am.
Did you see that?
Amen.
It's good for Egypt to redeem them. Say, I am that I am, meaning I will keep the word of Abraham, or in my word we have to do forever.
So that will be God in his redemption.
Okay, for you.
How did God in his redemption?
So they look for me to see that Jesus is God becoming a man.
You see that?
Jesus is God becoming a man. They look at them to do to see.
Amen.
Amen.
Jesus is God becoming a man.
So you have to read them. Read them together.
So that you will never see Jesus' story as a dead story.
No, the writer of that scripture to see that there are stories. So that separation you have in your book, New Testament, Old Testament, God is not of God. It's not inspired of God.
Amen.
New Testament says something you can, for today, use it for reference.
Amen.
Just to reference.
Amen.
But there's nothing like Old Testament books.
How?
Because the New Testament is found within Genesis down to Mark.
The Holy God.
The New Testament is found within Genesis down to Mark.
So for you to not call the whole book Old Testament, no. Old Testament will be found within the books.
You see that?
Well, the problem within the book, but the whole book is can't be Old Testament.
Old will be their rejection of God's testament, their rejection of God's covenant.
Hallelujah.
So what happens afterwards?
That is the Old Testament, their disobedience to God's testament.
What they're following
for the Old Testament.
So we saw all that last week, and then we'll see much of it in the coming days.
Now, writing about this synoptic account, the story of Jesus, as we call it, Scripture is not a story by the, is not a tale by moonlight.
No.
Because of the beginning of Kailma, the beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ. So he goes again to Genesis. When you find the word beginning many times, not every time, many times in scripture is referring to the Genesis. The beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Now your mind goes again to Genesis. He calls the Genesis the beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Say, as it is written. So look at how Mark wants you to read this message. He goes from that and then he goes into verse 2. Now in the verse 2, he reads Malachi. He says, as it is written in the prophet. Amen? So what will we have as a prophet? Genesis as Malachi. Well, yeah, he did it specifically for Malachi. So he goes to Malachi. He takes your mind back again to the man, to Malachi. He says, as it is written in the prophet, behold, I send my messenger before thy face, who shall prepare a way before thee. Now when you read this, is it saying you should go and read one back, or you should go and read the whole of Malachi? You go back to read the whole of Malachi. Amen. And when you read Malachi, I told you every previous interpreter or every previous writer, I mean every writer is interpreting for me what previous writer, right? So can we say within the context, or what would you call the context of Malachi? What would you call the context of Malachi? Genesis. The context of Malachi would be Moses. This is that. So automatically when you are reading Malachi, he's telling you you're going to go back again to the Genesis. So the context of when you, I heard it from Pastor Guy, and he's very, very polite. But I can't say he's wrong. Very, very polite. And I can't. He said, before you say, it is written. Before you quote your Bible verse, make sure you read it in context. And what will be the context of a Bible verse? A Bible statement. The whole Bible. Amen. Amen. When people are quoting, quoting, quoting. Before you quote, make sure you read the context of it, which is the whole Bible. Amen. So when you read the prophet, which is Malachi, I send my messenger before thy face. Who shall prepare a way before they say the voice of one crying in the wilderness? He leaps again to another. And he's writing about John. And he's reading John from the scriptures. Making you see that the incarnation, listen, is scripture fulfilled. The incarnation is scripture fulfilled. Hallelujah. So he reads the event of the incarnation from the scriptures. What about follow that? Hallelujah. And that is how you ought to be right. He's reading Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John doesn't call your attention back to Genesis and down to Malachi, then you are reading it as a next book. Okay, follow me. The Holy God, you must always take your mind back to the Genesis. Hallelujah. Also, something very significant he does in Mark 16, what many times people have argued, I will not get into this until I teach you on this message, I teach on Mark. But what many people have argued, wasn't there, it's just not there. But Mark 16 verses 20, it says, and they went forth and preached everywhere. Watch it. It says, when the Lord walking with them, watch that, the Lord walking what? With them. That is the part of the essence. Hallelujah. Making sure that Jesus is both divinity, or Jesus is divinity that became a man. You need to hear me well on this. Jesus is divinity that became a man. Now, another question. When Jesus was walking the earth, is he walking the earth as? Okay. We're going to do that. That's why that might not have been called Luke 1:1. Now, hear it. And you have to see this way. So if our father men have taken in hand the certain order, the declaration of those things which are surely delivered among us, even as they delivered them unto us, which from the beginning were eyewitness and witness of the world. It seems good to me also, having had perfect understanding of these things from the very first right unto the, unto what the right unto the in order most of the Ethiopians. Now, he goes again,
and first of all, he gives that disclaimer that he was not part of the eyewitness, right? Amen? But he said, what is writing? Making sure that he's a third party, right? He wasn't there when he meant to go. But he said, what is writing? What has been commonly believed amongst them, and they were delivered to him or to them by those who are eyewitnesses, and he calls them ministers of the word. You see that? Amen? He calls them ministers of the word. So, ministers of the word, what would be their scripture? Genesis chapter Malachi. Did you see that? So Jesus also says that in Luke 24:27. He says, I'm beginning that movie. So Luke 1:22, we call you ministers of the word. Ministers of the word will be ministers of Genesis. Jesus is the minister of the word. So he goes again to Luke 24:27 and says, beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures of the things concerning himself, beginning at Moses. Oh, yeah, follow me. Amen. Beginning at Moses from the Genesis. So you mustn't lose sight of how they work. Glory to God. You mustn't lose sight of how they work. Glory to God. Glory to God. Amen. Amen. John 1:9 says, in the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. Now, we use the word Word there. We say that word Word is the word Logos from another Hebrew word, Dabar. Right? So, just to rush through that, we say Dabar is used for a reason for an action. Right? A reason for an action used for Word is also used for God. Right? The visible reality of God within the New Testament. God's visible reality. Amen. So the Dabba of God, or the Dabba, the word of the Lord, the Dabba Yahweh, which is God in his visible reality. Amen. In Genesis 15:1, the Bible says the word of the Lord came to Abraham. God, that is not the word of the Lord. If you watch cartoons, did you hear there? Everybody over here?
Yeah. Abraham.
Right? You see, that is the word of the Lord came. This is the text. The word of the Lord came. We use that there. Use for a person. The word of the Lord came to Abraham and said. You see that? So the word of the Lord is a person. So it's the same person that appeared to Abraham. Right? In Genesis 15:1 and Genesis 15:5. He was the one who is in the garden. And spoke to whom? Adam and Eve. He's the same person that appeared to Samuel. 1 Samuel 2:7. He appeared to Samuel. He appeared to Samuel. He's the same God I am. Hallelujah. So he is God in his visible reality. So John now writes and says, in the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God and the Word of God. When John was writing this, he was this synopsis, when every other writer of the synopsis, in fact, all others of the apostles were there. And then John wrote it. Hallelujah. And when he wrote John, when he wrote it, and at that point, there was already this false doctrine going on about Jesus not being God. So he writes, and he paid that for them, because he was, he said, that is the Jabba. He said, he was in the beginning of God. Isn't that? There are all things where what? Created by him. He said, and without him, there is nothing that is made. Isn't that? He said, he is life. And the life is the light of men. Isn't that? So he's explaining Jesus from Genesis. So he said, in the beginning, go to Genesis. He said, that is the God, in that is God in the Old Testament book. And Jesus is God of the scriptures. Amen. Because that is our baby. Amen. Amen. Glory to God. I had a conversation with someone yesterday, and the person was saying things like, he doesn't believe that Jesus is God. I said, I don't know what it is. He doesn't believe that Jesus is God. I said, yeah, he's God again. You know? They're not born again. No, they're not born again. All the facts of the belief. I want to die. Guys, what did you get to do? Amen?
Okay, he used on his God. Now that is where people have that problem. And I guess we'll find that to talk about.
He said, Jesus is God. Then
the Father will teach you where I will teach you the name of Jesus. He said, then why? When he was on the earth, who did he pray to?
They believe Jesus is the Son of God. That's what I mean. God. God is Son of God. God is Son. Amen.
So what do you mean Son of God? And I said, amen. When you talk about Son, who is now the mother?
So even the Son of God that you're even talking about, you don't even believe.
You just want to fix your mind somewhere. Glory to God.
I don't even know how to do
that. So the very fact of the belief, I find it hard to call anyone a Christian. In fact, I cannot call anyone a Christian who doesn't believe in Jesus Christ. And when they have that idea, who is Jesus Christ? Jesus, I told you, Jesus never said he is the Father. Have I not said it yet to us? He never said he is the Father. That is the truth. Jesus never said he is the Father. Amen?
Amen?
But he's God. That's why he's, that's why Trinity. Amen? Some people have lost God into Jesus is in the Trinity, in the Father in the Old Testament, the Son in the Son of the Spirit. No! Oh, oh, oh. So that is God in the dynamic. Amen? In the truth, if you read Scripture, any good student of Scripture will be saw as from Genesis 1, from Genesis 1, you will find that union of God from Genesis 9 down to Revelation. You will find God in the union. Amen. You will find God in the union. Let us make my whole people into union. In the beginning, God protected the family. Say the head of God, and the Spirit of God, you will find that union. Listen to that. You will find that union. In Deuteronomy 6, verse 4. Moses will say, yea, O Israel, he said, the Lord your God is Ikar. Now when you use the word one there, he's not saying just one God. And that is why on our series and in other series we've been teaching, our special series, Revelation of God, understanding the God's will. I painstakingly take my time to teach you and make you see that you cannot read words in the world. When you say the Lord your God is one, you don't think it is single. No, he says one. And he used the word Ikar. Paul mentioned it. The Lord is one. Ikar. Now, Ikar is used for union. You see that? A union. Now, I'm not going to use myself now. I have another married person with myself. So, Dipsy and Salu, they are husband and wife. Right? Right? He has what? Is it hard for you to see? Is there water in your mouth?
This is a salary of what?
In as much as the pastor in church to call them, I hereby make you one.
Does that make both of them one? Does that mean they are one? So this thing will now enter into salary, but then also this and normally fast and thin. When you look at the thing, you see half size.
No!
Amen! Did you see that?
But are they one? Are they one? They are one, but they are not single. You see that? They are two beings in a union. That is why marriage is a union that reflects God. It's a shadow that reflects God. You see that? Union.
Amen? Amen? You and God, you say, oh, born again, you are in union with Christ.
Are you Christ? Are you Jesus? But are you not in union with him?
That is it! You see that?
Amen.
So, Jesus the Father and the Spirit. The Spirit is the usual. Now we're going to deal with that later.
But let me put them together.
Now Jesus, the Father and the Spirit, they are a union. You see that? So it doesn't mean Jesus is the Father, but Jesus is God. The Spirit is God and the Father is God. Amen. 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 That's it. So now, John, what John has done is to identify Jesus as part of the Godhead. So you can see, he is the Godhead. And I said the reason why he's called Son of God is because of his functionality in the incarnation. Before the incarnation, he is called the Word. You see that? What does that mean? He's called what? The Word. The Word became flesh and came into the among us. Now that is what Paul and that's what John now says. That the Word that is God now became flesh and dwelt among us. So Jesus in the incarnation is God become a man. Right? Now God become a man. Now what I want to show is fun. Span into your wheel. When Jesus was in the air, did we function as God or as man or as God and man? Everybody do that. I'm going to take the answer until the last of the day. Maybe I'll pass to my pastor. This one I was in. And then I'm going to pass to Sam. So, Jesus in the incarnation, this God and man, or God, did he function as man, or function as God and man, or function as God? So he is 50% or 100% God. Just give me the percentage. How did he function? 100% God and 100% man. Okay? 100% God and 100% man. He's God. God and man. Okay, how many percent? Let's go. 100% God, 100% man. Like that. 100% God, 100% man. You're not students. You said two classes. 100% God, 100% man. You're not class. 100% God, you're not class. All the didactic, the world, you can just see that you are. I put it to you. You must do it. As a man and God. 100% man, 100% God. 100% man and God. What is you must do it? You can have a job back on the cross. God and man. God and man. 100% God and 100% man. 100% human being. Say it with me. Yahweh. 100% man, 100% God. 100% man, 100% God. I'm tempted to ask my pastor, but I will leave it. Spread them for today. Amen. Okay. 100% God, 100% man is there. If Jesus functions as 100% God and 100% man, then I'm going to believe it. He's God that became man, yet he did function as God in the earth. Hallelujah! Yes! For yet he God. Now, when you use that word, and the word became flesh. Watch this. That little bit, he took on flesh to be a man. Now, every writer of the New Testament book recognized that. Okay, for you. He gives himself up in Godhead for becoming a man. Yet he is God. this time, what am I going to do?
If I'm going to do meanwhile, and that became the obvious what I told him was a reason for a second piece of movement within the earth.
Now, people can say, it's all something about miracles. So that means the reason why we cannot do miracles is because we're left for Jesus, because he's God. That is his God nature. Did you see that? You could lead yourself into subtle. You could lead yourself into subtle. How can you be careless? And you could be nice.
But is he God?
Now, watch what I said. Is he God? Is he 100% God, 100% man? Yes. But how did he function? Mark my question. Function. How did he function?
He functioned as a man.
Yes, he is God. What am I following you? What am I following you? Let's see something. In Philippians chapter number. Is it Philippians? Is it down? Okay, quickly. Let's get quickly to Philippians. Hello. I'm coming. Come to one. No. Just look at Philippians. I want to check something. Now, maybe I'm calling Philippians. Is Philippians sorry? Amen. Now look at something. Just something that you see this part. It says, let this man be you who was in Christ Jesus. Now I'm saying, who? Be in the form of God. What? Talk it not roughly. To be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation and took upon me the form of a servant. I was made in the what? Likeness of man. Did you see that? Can you see that? Can you see that? He took, he became a man. How does that mean? To function in the earth as a man, but he is God. Do you see that? What are you doing with that? What are you doing with that? Amen? Amen?
Don't be mad. Who died for me? And he knows how to do it. You don't know that. Do we give praise to God? Amen. Man who died for me?
Yeah! You sing the song! Hallelujah! So he made himself a man of reason and took upon him the form of a servant. When he said, he took the form of a servant, then he became a man. Amen. The form of a servant became a man. Right? That is, he was made in the likeness of man. Yes, and being found in the fashion as a man, he humbled himself and he became obedient unto death, even death on the cross. Yes, he is God. Do you see that? And he became a man. Now look at 1 Timothy. We will explore this more on Thursday. But I will see, Father, we still think here. 1 Timothy chapter 2. It says, verse 16. It says, and without controversy, it says, great is the mystery of godliness. For God was manifested in the flesh. Now you know what manifested there? Phaneros. Meaning to be fully displayed, to be naked. Amen. To be fully displayed. So God was fully displayed in the flesh. Do you see that? Hallelujah. Amen. Made manifest in the flesh, justified in the spirit. See the man that preached unto the Gentiles, believe on the word, receive not into grace. Hallelujah. Amen. So God became fully manifested in us. Hallelujah. Amen. That was why I said, what validated in incarnation? Let me see who has been thinking about it again. What validated in incarnation? The resurrection. You see that? Amen. Amen. How about this is incarnation? Hallelujah. For God become a man. So as a man, he's 100% God and 100% man, yet he functions as man. You see that? Fully. So that means Jesus had the same kind of natural kind of man. He lived like a natural man on earth. He was small. He sucked his mother's breast. So no, he's God. No, he's Jesus.
He became a man.
He's not too small as Christ.
He could prove. Say, no, my God. What he could prove?
He can't.
What about that function? Stop doing that.
Would that be true?
Some people don't want to hear that. He became a man.
He was hungry.
He got hungry.
He was hungry.
Today, we never got hungry.
I can read scripture here. The Bible says he was hungry. 40 days. When was that? He was hungry.
He was hungry. In your fault, they don't think he's going to buy him food, but he was hungry. So he ate. He was not. He took his bread. Say, ah! He did it. If there was no toilet in their days, madam, you skip toilet. Maybe short food. The Jesus, yes, Jesus. Amen. So, I want you to see. He was mad. Mm.
He didn't come back and say,
you talk to me, I'm gone. Come on.
No.
He was mad. Amen. Yes, he's gone. So, when I said that because of what I want to say, when he says, and the word became flesh, at least he became completely. But yes, I mean, he functioned completely as a man. Now, yes, he's God. That was why some scripture told you what that is scripture of man calling that was the Christ. You see that? They need the Christ to come. When they expect him to come the way he is. That was the Christ. There is something that is yet needing. Hallelujah. What are you doing here? What are you doing here? We will bring you to our city. So, from what I said, you discover that that is why you have the local church. You said the local church is where you have God's word. Right? That's what God's word. Matthew 4, yes, that's what God's word. And I said, how you are taught. But they tell me how you come. Don't joke with how you are taught. It will show how you come out. But the two things that is very important, how you are taught and how you receive what you have been taught, right? How you receive what you have been taught, those two are very vital because they determine your spiritual growth. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Let's look to get into some few things that you can. So we're going to look at the two kinds of believers, right? The one that gets God to what I'm doing, and the one that hears God's word and doesn't do it. Hallelujah. Yes, God's word and doesn't do it. So that one is unfruitful. He allows the things of this world, the circumstances of this world to choke God's word. Right? And the one that hears God's word and does it, that man is going to be fruitful. Right? He produces fruit. He does God's word. James will say, that's the man that looks into the perfect law of believers and continues them. Hallelujah. Jesus will say, that is the man who built his house on the rock. He followed on the rock, said the storm will come. Hallelujah. The storm will come. The wind will blow on the house. Vehemently. This is not fall because it was founded on the rock. And that is good for the man. He has got what I like them. Now, we saw something in Matthew 7. We saw both of the man that built his house on the rock and the man that built his house on sand. One thing similar happened to them. What is it? The storm will always come. Hallelujah. It will always be storm. The world will come. Both on believers and non-believers. Glory to God. But what?
Amen.
Glory to God. So what are we?
Believer different, or the man that does God's work different,
is what thing that what stands out the child of God, the believer who has God to have done with what he does with the storm. How does he handle the storm? Hallelujah. The question is, how does he handle the storm? But how does the storm respond to life? Genesis 1:2. It says the earth was not form and void. He said, and darkness was upon the surface of the deep. The earth was without form and void. So who have you had? Amen. Confusion. Now that is darkness. Amen. Darkness was upon the surface of the deep. There was darkness. But what did God do? Did God destroy the darkness? God didn't destroy the darkness. Hallelujah. What he did was to separate the light from the darkness. Glory to God. Don't think he's struggling. He separated the light from the darkness. Hallelujah. He knew how to make light come from darkness. He said, let there be light. Hallelujah. Let there be light. Paul said, the Lord who commanded light to shine out of darkness. You see that? It's darkness. It's chaos. There is storm. But what did God do? In the darkness, he made light. So God knew what to do with the darkness. Amen? God knows what to do with the darkness. We're going to treat that. Sometimes next week, what to do with darkness. I'm going to teach on that. It's not what I'm teaching you today. I'm teaching you an unwavering truth. But yet, I'm going to teach you what to do with the darkness. Hallelujah. God called light out of darkness. God didn't start banging the darkness. No, he called light out of darkness. Today in our world, we must know how to call light out of darkness. Hallelujah. He must know how to make use of the darkness and get light out of the darkness. All through scriptures, God's instruction is to make light out of darkness. That becomes a very vital thing in scripture, making light out of darkness. Hallelujah. Amen. What in the story? Very vital thing in scripture. Light out of darkness. Glory to God. He calls the word darkness. Yes. Yes, this is, yes, he spoke about the water that led the Garden of Eden into the nation. Hallelujah. Look at what God is doing in the garden. Hallelujah. Amen. He was ready to know what to do with that. But that's not what we're looking at today. But in the face of darkness, God caught the match. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. God did say darkness is destroyed. No, to take the light from the darkness. So darkness is part of the world. Darkness is part of life. Yeah. It's part of life, though. Remember how your thoughts will tell how you turn out. Darkness is part of life. So when you see the storm, don't say, what is he doing to me? It's part of life. Hallelujah. Yeah. It's part of life. Sometimes we're very low. Glory to God. But we're over. And keep this. We say many times than few. Let me say that. Many times than few. When the storm comes, it will always come on the things that are natural. Amen. But the target is not the natural. The target is the faith. Look at Job. In one day, Job lost his sheep, his camel, his cattle, his sheep. What do you think of? He now had sore in his body. Amen. He had sores in his body. He was afflicted in his body too. And the wife says, why not curse God and die? Did you see? That is the main target. Curse God and die. That is the target, your faith. Curse God and die. Did you see that? So the target of the storm is your faith. Never forget that. So when things happen in the natural, in the storm, I told you that I'll show you the storm, and I told the person, go preach the gospel. The gospel, we're not talking about the gospel. And I said, is that really gospel? I said, yeah. And then I told Jesus has done it all. Done what all? Jesus has done what? No more persecution? No more trial? We just live there? Just the vanity and the thing like this?
Father, Father, I'm going to tell you who I be. I've been watching this thing on the desert and I'm the king's king. Well, I'm the king's king. And can you my God? They are the king's king. They are kings. I am king, bro. I have no time to fall, bro. No pleasure, bro. No songs, bro. Why? I'm king, bro. So when something happens, you just fall into the shell. Oh, you don't be good. Some people are going to be because of my church. How can that be your problem? Some of the people change churches because of the way to trial. And they say, God is in that church. What is the meaning of that? What is the meaning of that? Even Jesus Christ, God, he gave a man heart stone. And he gave a man, who wants to die in me? Even Jesus has stone. He was flogged and I will not be flogged. Maybe because your father is not my father. When you will lock, they want to close into his room, and lock the door. One of you will fight just in that day. The door will lock. You wonder how you shout. You flog it with my father. Like John the Bear, like John the Bear, the king is following you. I cannot be whipped again because I've been whipped from you. Come to me, I said. I'm going to tell you. When they whip you. Yeah? Remember then, one of the rabbis, and they gave up words when the box took of the king. All of us were empty in the Christian. They're so much going to be meek, be compassionate. And now they're he told us their money, but they can see my vote. Well, now you know how far soldiers. So people are there laughing. He got angry and told all the soldiers in school. We locked all the hall. They locked the hall up. Everybody one by one. All the kings that Jesus didn't brought to the school. They stopped us 24. See, I say, Jonathan, God has been weak and I will not be weak. You will resist and two of you. It will just cannot be easy. Well, what will drive that away too? Not asking how I did it. But let's look at the guy. I will die. I will die. Where's the ladder? You know, you know what? I will flog you as you come. You will be back 21! Back 24, Lila! How many 24? I can't hold you two. I have to go, what are you? Yeah? But then you know, I'm going to be. I'm the king's king. Some people, they came to church because of their own superstition. And what they want from the church is for the church to come and shame their people. They say, ah, Benji. Sorry. Say, ah, thank you, sir. Sorry. Ah, I like that church. Why? See you, people. I do for you. Can you hear me? Can you hear me? Don't take him. Say, ah. I say, I have to stop. That is when you must know how to use the storm. How to handle the storm. Hallelujah. But you know what? So we need the storm. Give me the gun in your path. I don't need to do it. When you talk, when something is in there, your pastor will not see. Give me the head. Envy. Do not think about it. That will be strategized. He didn't keep the from there. When the storm will be born, head of this person will look at it. Now my speech is like, change his life. Man of God. The storm has happened. Amen. Storm has happened. Gather yourself together. Amen. That happened. Do it. And it will fall in natural things. But the target is the spiritual. I know someone who needs to be in church. I want him. don't do all these things to be to show you. Because you saw your pastor do so.
Pastor,
I need to give my list to my list. Sir, they think coin. I think the money to register. Register is your money. Think coin. My mother, if I say there is blue coin, when you are giving away, you say think. You are saying blue coin. I say, how many do you think? And then use your money to register with your money. And I didn't get any returns. I was like, look at what people are doing. We showed you every picture. Plantain. After that, you're going to get that. That I'm not going to do that. Now, can that one because no, very good. You want to go to the game? And that's why I'm taking my time to teach. Amen. Yeah. Go to God.
Hallelujah.
Go. Sometimes I was going to show you something, but I don't think it's right. What now? Okay. Look at Paul. Paul was led by God's Spirit to Jerusalem. And he goes to Jerusalem, and they capture him. They capture him. He faced persecution in Jerusalem. But you know what? I told you, God leading is all that what he's doing. Right? That is moving to Jerusalem, he won souls. In fact, he had a record of souls won in Jerusalem. But you know what? He was captured there. So that was where the word of the Lord transferred most. You are working for him, and he's not telling you to go and do something, and he's not telling you to I'm listening to the word. So I think he said that he should listen to understanding the gospel. He is key in it. But storms is part of life. It will come. Amen. Always come. And like I said to you, it will come. We saw the storm came to Jonah. Right? Jonah was in disobedience. So the storm will come in disobedience to God's will. Right? Jonah was disobedient. The storm came. The storm will come when you are in obedience to God's will.
Amen. Look at Jesus. Look at Joseph. It will come. Hallelujah. Amen.
It will come. Jesus was on the way to the cross.
That's God's way. Right? Is it not going to be us? And yet they captured it. Hallelujah. And he flogged it. He's that kid.
Hallelujah. Storms will always come. Glory to God. Storms will always come.
Okay.
He calls when I'm in disobedience. He calls when I'm obeying God.
Okay, let me not just be anyone. Let me just stay neutral.
When even when we are doing nothing, Jesus was sleeping in the boat.
The storm came.
He was sleeping.
The storm came. Doing nothing. Amen.
The storm will still come.
In this part of life.
Sometimes the storm will come for me. Paul has storm. Amen.
The storm will always come.
In Acts 27, quickly. Let's just stop. Let's say this for Paul. Acts 27. Hope you're following me here this morning. Acts 27. Okay. The verse is 13. It says, and when they start with the pen and fall at one day, but they did not believe him. Because everywhere was going well. Everything was going smooth. Right? They didn't believe Paul. They just stand to the rhythm and drop. Then verse 13, and the wind and the south wind blew softly, supposing that they had obtained their purpose, losing him. Then sailed by twigs.
But not long after, there
arose against it a tempestuous wind called Euclidon. And when the ship was stopped and could not bear up the wind, we let her down. And running under a certain island which is called Clyde, we had not work to come by the boat, which when they had taken up, we used help. Now, I need you guys to rush down to look at verse 20. And when neither sun nor star in many days appeared, and no small tempest lay on us, all hope that we should be saved was taken away. But after long abstinence, Paul stood forth in the midst of them and said, "Sir, you should have hearkened unto me, and have not moved from faith. And I have gained this hand. And lost. And now I exhort you, be of good cheer, for there shall be no loss of any man's life among you, because of the sheep. For they speak their name just now, the angel of the Lord, whom I am, and whom I serve. Saying, fear not, Paul, for thou must be brought before Caesar, and lo, God has given thee all them that say with him. Is that wherefore? Be of good cheer, for I believe God, that it shall be even as was told you. Howbeit, we must cast upon a certain island. Amen. Amen.
Amen.
So persecution must always come.
Isn't that?
That's right.
Amen.
The storm must always happen. Must always happen. The storm must always happen. Who do all the storm? But the question is, what will you do with the storm?
What will you do with the storm? Amen.
What will you do with the storm? What will you do with the storm? What will you do in the storm?
There's the storm.
What will you do in the storm?
And I said, what will you do with the storm? We'll speak that next year, right? Right? I get that question.
What will you do in the storm?
When there's the storm.
What will you do in the storm?
Is it time to weep?
Is it time to cry?
Who do the storm?
Now, I said to those in the past session, I said, if
the storm comes and you lose your conviction, if your conviction is lost in the place of the storm, you never had a conviction. You never had a conviction.
of what you used to believe changes because of the storm, you will never believe it. Amen. You are just like the man who has allowed the things of this world to choke him. Some people just want to use words, just to shout, woo, woo, woo. But when the real thing comes, you know, somebody fell in one time and was crying to me, oh, you are like me. Pastor, why is it me? God, why is it me? God! Storm is part of life. You can be sick in the body. Amen? We're part of life. So if your storm makes you change your condition, you will never have a condition. You never have a condition. Never did. Hallelujah. So what did you expect? Look at Paul in Acts 16. He said, look at what he admonished them. He said, be of good cheer.
Hallelujah.
Be of good cheer. He's telling them, be of good cheer. Be of good comfort. See, storm will come. And I told you something last week. I said the fact that you are now, let's say, you are acting on God's word. And now, you see, the acting on God's word, there is just the 1 hour, the storm of this. All through the storm, you must be of good cheer. The storm can last 1 day. Be of good cheer. Amen. So if their problem is they cannot even say, Pastor can say the word, let's say the word once. But Pastor has said the word now until the end.
Amen.
It's always until the end. Oh God, destroy all of them, man. They kill them all one by one. You know what to do in the storm. Hallelujah. Surely. So he said, be a good cheer. Means don't be afraid. Some of what makes them not to act on God's word is fear. Fear. You're scared. Sometimes the reason for fear makes that is because you don't know God's word. That's true. I love words. Well, here's what he used to say, and I heard it from the mouth of Pastor Sheldon. He said, faith begins when the will of God is known. Amen. Faith begins when the will of God is known. So when you don't know God's will, when you don't know God's word, you act in fear. And fear, by its reverse word, is a leap in the dark. Faith is a leap on the light of God's word. So fear is a leap in the dark. Fear is a leap in the dark. You don't know. Amen? So don't be afraid. Going on, there's this stop, we used to say, we've written 365 times in the Bible, once the Isaac gives the devil away, once on the Bible, I think it's but they fall in love with everywhere in the future, fear not. Amen. Fear is not a product of faith. Fear is a product of darkness, of ignorance, not a product of the light. Over there, fear. Hallelujah.
Fear.
Your future. Glory to God. Just like that. Put God's word on you. So faith is, you say, do not be afraid. It means I should have faith. And faith begins when the will of God is known, right? Right? So faith is expressed by putting God's word on you. Just to put God's word on you. Believer. Not because of the storm. In the world. Not because there's a storm and then we put God, then we begin to follow. Putting God's word on your lips, as a believer, it should be your everyday practice. It should be your daily life. Look at Genesis 2. Man has sinned. Man has done what is wrong. In Genesis 3, rather, said the Spirit of the Lord walked in the garden. I mean, the word of the Lord walked in the garden in the cool of the day. Hallelujah. That's the Ruach. The Ruach, the Spirit of God. Hallelujah. Sin walked in the garden in the cool of the day. Hallelujah. What in the garden? Making you see something. It is in God's nature not to talk about the past. Not to dwell in the past. But to put his word on his lips. God put his word on his lips. So I'd like to do it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He was going to put God's word on the leash. In Genesis 1:2, the Bible says the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the surface of the deep. What did God do? Because the earth, everything is scattered. No! What did God do? He said, and the Lord said, let there be light. Let there be light. That word, let there be light, is higher force. Amen. Or higher awe. I'm reading Greek and I'm reading Hebrew and Greek together. This higher awe. Higher is Jesus. God. Higher. That is God's name. I am Yahweh. So he says, I am light. In darkness, God says, I am light. He's speaking his word. I am light in the face of darkness. What are you seeing in this storm? When storm comes, are you trying to look? You see, it is in human nature to try to find a blame. To try to put fault somewhere. To try to look for fault. Oh, maybe it's the church of God. Maybe it's my pastor. Maybe it's my leader. Maybe it's my leader. Maybe it's this guy. That is human nature. They try to think they'll feel better. They'll feel comforted when they try to push blame to people. Sometimes they think they are better off when people tell them, AI has never helped anybody. Sorry has never helped any man. Hope they heard me. Sorry has never put food on anybody's table. It has never! Hallelujah! But you know what? Being a good chair, putting God's word on your lips. Hallelujah! What would you like to tell them, sorry? Hey, yeah. Sure, all right. Can you believe it? Pastor, what is this? Yeah. Somebody tell me, yeah. You know what? Because I said, hey, yeah, he's a son. Hey, yeah. They put food on your face. Eh? No! For who God's word on his lips? God put his word on his lips. Now we too learn from that. And put his word on our lips. At all times. What are you doing? At all times. Put God's word on your lips. Hallelujah. What are you doing? He put his word on his lips. Glory to God. Put it much more. I put it on my list for 2 weeks. What should I do? Put it much more. That happened for 6 months back. I'm going to put it much more. There's no time you should stop. And I told you, in the belly of the beast, Jonah was dead. Yet, in Sheol, he spoke and God's word. You see that? Amen! Amen! He spoke and God's word. Jesus was intimidated by the devil, and then he spoke and God's word. But he learned to speak God's word. What about that? Amen. Look at Ephesians 6. I told you, there's always going to be that evil day. It is always going to come. It will come. What about you? Let us pray against the evil day. Amen. Amen. If you want false admonition to purity, we'll just talk about it in Ephesians 6. But if you want false admonition to purity, he tells us. Because church was going to face opposition in Ephesus. Amen. And he'll tell you to be courageous. Hallelujah. We'll change it. But that is just the way. Don't worry, I'll send you 10 naira. Send the answer. No, the answer. Amen. Come to your knees. Okay, Ephesians 6. I'll start reading from verse 14. Say, wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. You see that? They will tell us that there is the evil day. And having done all to stand. You see that? Having done all to stand. Must do all. So what will you do? You can stand there. Having your Lord brings about with truth. And having the breastplate of righteousness. You see that? And your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Watch that. Amen. Amen. So, the days of the storm are not the days for you to stop the work of God. You'll get to see that shortly. He said, and above all, take also the shield of faith. Wherewith you shall be able to quench the fire of the wrath of the wicked. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit. Look at how he puts your response to the storm, to the evil day. What is your response like? He put it in a battle mode. You see that? Paul captured it in a battle mode. Hallelujah. After see that, he captured it in a battle mode. It involves a warlike mindset. Because there is soldier. What are you hearing? Is there evil there? And he says, no, he's a battle mode. You must, where is a battle mode that is there? That is a fact. Hey, so that means the things of ministry, the things I've learned in ministry, or the things I'm learning also in ministry, the work of ministry, I must put it up much more. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Years back, I remember this was what my friend showed me. And then he said, we're doing this for you. And when we were out of it after months, he said, don't forget what you did. Keep doing it. Hallelujah. Amen. So your feet shall be the preparation of the gospel of peace. Yeah, he said to me, you must evangelize me to me. How was he said? He said, touch the gospel. He said, put God's word into your faith. Amen. So I'm the Spirit, we don't know what is God. And we do this one. Hallelujah. Amen. So, in the place of storm, it's in the place to abandon the work of ministry. In the face of storm is not the time to abandon the work of ministry. In the face of storm, the storm is the time to deepen your condition. Because you lost 2 billion naira. 2 billion. You have to have always having God again. Because you know what it is. $500,000. $500,000. Fast. I have $950 million, sir. I lost it, sir. Who do you want to get the money, sir? You know, sometimes.
Sometimes it's because you are dealing with naira. Or let me put it like this: when I deal with this 10,000, 100,000. At around 2006, somebody lost 1 billion naira. You know what it is? Yet, the person did not neglect the work of God. Lost all, gone. You just imported one container and customs seized it. And it's 70 million. You are drinking or tapia. It's God, where are you? You are mixing Omo and water and you are drinking. God, where are you? Where are you when my container sank into the deep sea? God, where are you? Shock. People are lost to us. And they are sending the work of ministry. You miss half container. By using this group page. You see, the Omo and Insta is up to 500,000. And you are crying. And you say, God, where are you? And you are no longer serving God again. You are threatening God. You are checking God. Show our way. You are checking God. You say, God, I won't have you again. They said that in common. So people will not be giving God the reason why they will not go. If that container doesn't come, I won't have you again. Sure, you are checking God. They said, don't worry. That guy that's making you do that, you know, he will be born again. He will do that work. You are checking God. You are not indispensable. I always say that to you. Never think you are indispensable. Never think so. If you think it too foolishly, you are having the most foolish thoughts. Amen. As they foolish. Don't think you understand it. Don't think if I'm not in that church again. If I'm not in that church again, they will feel my presence. Here. They will feel my presence. They will feel my presence. Jesus said, if this one is not serve,
do not do this.
I'll do this. Amen. I'm not in that church again. I am the one that planted the church. Did I know the pastor that planted the church? He's God.
So even if you leave, as long as God did not leave with you, the church will go. Amen. And God will not leave with you, you will go in. Okay, no one chasing anybody.
And I don't serve God, maybe chasing God, chasing church, chasing their pastor.
Because you are going through one single thing. Amen. Amen.
No.
Amen. No. Don't do that. Don't be like that. Hallelujah.
The storm will always come. Strengthen your foundation.
Hallelujah.
Strengthen your foundation. So, we said, the time to do the work of the Lord. Right?
Right? Put God to work on your need not to know. You see, hail Jesus the Lord, and see his fire burning. Is this fire burning? It's not in clear and clear. In the face of the storm. In the face of the storm, in the face of the waters, it will not quench, it should not quench your fire. I see the fire burning in my heart. Hey, Jesus is blood. As soon as he leaves the gate, storm come.
It's already sun.
No, you stand and see fire burning. That is in the face of the storm, in the face of the boisterous wind, in the face of the waters of the waves. I will navigate through.
Hallelujah.
You navigate through the waters. You navigate through the storms with God's word in your lips. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Much more. You do the work of ministry much more. You go up. You go ahead. You preach much more. You disciple much more.
This will not prepare you. This will not change my condition. Hallelujah. It will not change my condition. It will not change who I am. Hallelujah. A dear man of God that I know lost someone so dear to me. So dear. And they started ministry together. He lost that person after he died. In that period, he lost his family. You know what he said? You know that thing would have. At the heat of it, at the heat of it, he was going through persecution. He lost his dear, his dear friend, his brother, and at the heat of it, was going through tough persecution in the ministry. Everybody in church left him. And he said, for this one soul is sick. This one soul will be demons. That is condition. One person leaves church and trusts you in your people, trusts you in yourself. They are no longer coming. I will make sure nobody comes to die your people. Nobody comes to die yourself. Nobody comes to die your branch. He said, for this one soul, I will be yours.
Hallelujah.
Amen. He said, I'm going to be yours. And he went on his knees and prayed. And continued the work of God. He started that question.
And today he's still preaching. He's still preaching. The storm must never let you down. The storm, you must never go down with the storm. Amen. The storm should be with you.
No, no, things can happen.
You can lose loved ones.
But your conviction must never change.
Amen. Can those people still do it to your heart? But that must never change your conviction.
Because a storm is going to come.
But if those things make you lose your conviction, you will never convince.
Oh God, where are you? Oh God, where are you? God, where are you? Where are you?
And he's yet I live with me.
God, where are you? God, where are you? Where are you, God? That didn't happen. And this time he's going to sing it. He's leaving me. They don't sing that, but don't sing that. What do you mean? Yeah, he's everywhere. I love an evil song that says, did you really hear Jesus? Is he here? Hallelujah! He's doing it. He's heaven and he's there.
Amen. Amen. But you know what? I'm strengthened in the face of the storm. My conviction is strengthened. Look at what Paul says, and we close the last. He says it. He says, and the helmet of salvation. And the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit is the word of God. Put it on your lips, right? He says, praying always. Hey! Praying always. With all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. In the face of the storm. Your prayer life must never go down. Never. Because what the storm wants to take, amen? What the storm wants to take is your devotion. What the storm wants to take is your prayer life. What the storm wants to take is your activeness in the work of ministry. Don't know it didn't happen. It happens in the natural, but that is the end. You see that? Or you say, no, I won't give you any of this. I won't give you my prayer life. I won't give you my study time. I will give you my time. When my time for discipleship, I will give you. Hallelujah. Amen. I will give you any of it. I do God's work the more. I do God's work the more. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I don't give my time to the devil. Hallelujah. Your conviction and your plans. Your conviction must never be lost in the storm. Your conviction never be lost in this storm. The storm is not for 1 hour. No, it depends. Not because I now pray, the storm will not stop. Sometimes it might require you to pray for the storm to go. Right? Sometimes the storm will still stay even when you pray. So the prayer is not to kill the storm. The prayer is to build your conviction in it. Hallelujah. The storm will not stop because when you started, you now want to do evangelism. You are not expecting to stop because you do evangelism. I was embittered by that. One time like that, I had some issues around me. So, because one of my friends had told me, I went ahead. But I did the same thing. I started preaching, studying, praying. And I thought like the other time, you're going to be moving or in a short while. But it continued. I was angry. But I don't have these things now. And the storm was still there. It was still there. You get me? I was like, but I thought everybody things would have been gone. But it wasn't gone. Hallelujah. But it wasn't gone. It wasn't gone. So sometimes the storm can last. But your prayers should last longer. Sometimes the storm can delay. But your prayers should exceed the storm. Your conviction speaks much more in the face of the storm. Your conviction is this. Say, my conviction is not lost in the face of the storm. My conviction is strengthened and built up in the face of the storm. Wherever you are, you can pray. Don't just stay. Where you are, you don't have to stand. Where you are, let's pray. Just pray.